It's a joy to be here again on this Palm Sunday. I don't know whether you remember one of these, a yo-yo.
Oh, yes.
And what is the action of a yo-yo? Yeah, it's down, up. We often think it's up and down, but it's down, up. I'm not practiced at it, but I didn't make it right. Now, the two readings that we've had this morning from Philippians 2 and Luke 19 speak of God coming down in humility to be amongst us. He is the God who comes to us. He descends from heaven, and he doesn't come with the trappings of power, but comes in the power of love. The readings on Palm Sunday, the entry into Jerusalem, where Jesus rides into the city on this colt that had been taken and lent, that had never been ridden before. This is the climax week of his life and ministry. He planned this all along. He knows what was coming and set his face as a flint to meet it. The message of the kingdom, which he had preached and effectively seen people healed and transformed, could only be accomplished if he was to embrace this last week that he was entering into. What lay ahead he knew, and where Adam failed to obey God, Jesus was going to offer God the obedience of love, whatever the cost to him. And for Jesus, this was a royal occasion. He carefully planned to come into the city, but the animal he chose was not a white charger fit for a king. It was a colt, a humble foal of a donkey. And he had in mind the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey." What a contrast to the usual procession of a king into his city. And that entry into Jerusalem was short-lived, where the shouts of jubilation, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven," where those shouts of acclamation turned within a week to cries of "Crucify him, crucify him." Yet it is in that Passion Week that we're entering into that he offered the Father the perfect obedience, even to the death on a cross. Now that journey he took in this last week was to embrace a struggle and the agony of Gethsemane, and then the cruel crucifixion on the cross, made even more difficult when people surrounding the cross said, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Prove it to us." So he goes in to that city. Now the epistle reading from Philippians is a beautiful poem about God who comes down in humility to where broken humanity is and engages in a rescue mission. You know, people in the ancient world thought of heroic leaders as men who held great power in their hands and exploited that power over their people. For example, Alexander the Great, at the age of 20, he succeeded his father Philip and became the king of Greece, the great leader. By the age of 33, he had conquered the then known world, and he died of exhaustion from that exertion over those 10 years. And then in Paul's day, he would have known the Roman Emperor, Augustus Caesar, who brought peace to the known world through his military might and his organizational skills. You see, these men modeled and used their power to conquer, to subjugate their people, and to exploit their enemies. And the world has known other despots, more in our last century and this century, of Hitler and now Putin. Men who've grasped power and exploited it for their own purposes, to hold a nation to ransom. And the verbs used to speak of these power people is that they grasped things, they exploited people, they crushed them. That's what heroic leadership looked like in that world in the first century. And we see the same in our world today. I find it almost impossible to comprehend how a nation can actually be, in a sense, bewitched by what is propagated. And in this beautiful poem of Philippians 2, Paul illustrates a different model of power. He portrays the downward movement of love. You see, Israel's God was always attentive to its people, his people, and promises to come down and rescue them when they are in great need. And the story of the Exodus and also of the Babylonian exile speaks of that. And the poem in this Philippians 2 is a story about God. In it we see what God is like. That's been a longing for so many over the centuries. God, what are you like? It's a question that the disciples asked Jesus, because they knew that he had such an intimate relationship with God the Father. And they said to him once, show us the Father. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He is the express image of what God is like. And he offers to serve God. He humbles himself, he empties himself. The word is kenosis. It means to divest yourself of your power and prerogatives. Humility is to give up your own privilege in order to serve those who have none. And do you remember how Jesus said, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What contrast to the first man, Adam, who grasped that power when God had said, you're not to touch or to eat that apple. And here Jesus is showing a different model of kingship, of leadership. And what would the solution be to bring about that change? Well, God's answer was to call a people, a nation, Israel, and to show himself as a father to his people, to be with them in times of blessing, and in a sense also in times of deprivation, where God intervened for his people. And so we have a picture here of a God who came down to rescue. And just to read these few verses, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. What a difference in terms of the use of power. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Jesus is the one who reveals what God is like. God is not someone who's far removed, but he comes down to where we are. And Paul describes this so beautifully in those words. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God as something to be exploited. He emptied himself. And he says even he was obedient, even to death on a cross. You know, crucifixion was a form of torture that the Romans invented. And they used it to deal with any rebellion, anything that was opposed to them. And Jesus is now walking through this Passion Week that we're going to enter into to offer to God what Adam failed to give. He is severely tested. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, that immense struggle where he was saying to God, if it's possible, let this cup to be taken from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then even on the cross, where some who watched him said, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. And he offers himself in that darkness and that struggle, and eventually shouts out the words, Tetelestai, it is finished. As we look at the cross, we should think, this is the true meaning of God. He is the God of self-giving love. He is the God of self-giving love. The one we worship, Paul said, is the God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And that's not the end of the story. We know, as we move through Passion Week, what the end of the story. But Paul says here, therefore God has highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, where every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, there's going to come a day when Jesus comes again, when he's going to restore the earth to God, and the kingdom of God is going to fully come. And there will be judgment on those who have abused their power. And Paul concludes with this sense of glory. The end is not defeat, but exaltation. And so as we journey through this Passion Week, culminating in the Passover meal, in Good Friday, and the resurrection on Easter Day, we remember that we love because he first loved us. I know God because he knows me. And he came down to reveal himself to the world. I just conclude with two thoughts. Napoleon, I've just read a book in a book club called Napoleon the Great by Andrew Roberts. And Napoleon made this statement about Jesus. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creation of our genius? Upon force. Upon force. Jesus founded his empire upon love. And at this hour, there are millions of people who would die for him. Now, he was a great soldier, and he had many people who would die for him. But he recognized in Jesus the power of love. And I love the words of John Paul II, one Easter. He said this, we are an Easter people, and our song is Alleluia. And as we come to the communion, we come to receive from the one who came down to meet us. I didn't find God. Really, God found me. And that's the wonderful thing. And as we take the bread, we are receiving the blessing and the favor and the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.